All right, if I sing a song before I preach. Okay? Maybe if you follow the Lord, God will preach and I won't have to. Amen. You just follow the Lord, Beck, if you'll come. I sang this song last Sunday and it's been on my heart ever since. And I know that there's a lot of emotions this morning, a lot of things that we're trying to decipher in our minds and our hearts. And for the things that you and I have no control over, for the things that we just need an answer from God, for the things that are standing there that we look at and say, what's going on? What we need to do is instead of trying to work it out or fix it, we just need to take it to the Lord and ask God to take care of it for us today, or give us the strength for what it is that we're facing in our lives. So this song says that no matter what, and this is Roger's interpretation of this song, no matter what it is that you're going through in your life, no matter what it is that you're facing, no matter what kind of plans that you had, and those plans may have fallen short, if you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, you have everything that you need. Everything. You say, well, what about all this material stuff? All of that can go away. But if you have Jesus Christ, He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I'll be with you even to the end. For Ivan and Trula and David and Cammie, for all these that have loved ones on foreign soil, we cannot be there with them, but we serve a God that is big enough that He's there. And our prayer this morning is that no matter where our people may be at home, in a nursing home, in hospital, maybe even on foreign soil this morning, wherever they're at, if they would just, God would just bring back to their remembrance a word that they heard, maybe on a Sunday morning Sunday school lesson, or in a message on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night, maybe in a song, maybe in a testimony that mom or dad or grandma or grandpa gave to them. Maybe somebody in the church stopped by their way and saw their pain and saw their situation and spoke a word to them. At the time, they didn't understand it. But how many of you know that God can bring back a word spoken? At the time, you didn't understand it, but then God brings it back to your remembrance, and you're so overwhelmed that they spoke that word that you stood in need of. This morning, would you stand while we sing this song? Those of you that know it, sing along with us. And let it bless your heart. It's an old song, but it'll bless your heart if you allow God to do so.
But heartaches and trouble, I was seeking for fortune and fame. I had nothing but doubts and confusion, but now for life's only meaning.
On a message on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, I'm not sure when, but we preached a message, and I was talking in that message that the Lord laid upon our hearts about how that God can give us prosperity. Some of you remember it, and some folks, and I know in our day and age which we live in, talk about prosperity. If you get saved, everything's going to be all right. And sometimes we're a little harsh on them and say that you ought not preach like that. But I want to declare to you this morning, ever since I've got saved, I've had everything I ever needed. Amen. And you can have it. We can have that prosperity. But this morning, in the book of Matthew, for just a few minutes of time, while you pray, and God moves, and bless our brother that's praying this morning. I tell you what, I feel like him, and Brother Jim, and some of you others that you may be praying there in your pews, or I tell you what we ought to be praying is that I know that I have everything. Some of you raise your hands and say that you have everything. But I'd love to see my loved ones get everything. Because if they did, their lives would be so much better. Larry was talking in a prayer request about a friend of his. And I'll get to my scripture reading maybe in just a minute. But a child that's in drug rehab, and we got a friend whose child is in drug rehab. Seems like every time the phone rings or a message comes across, there's always bad news that's there. And if you allow it, everything that's going on, well, your world just collapse. It's just so much that you can only bear so much. And we just collapse underneath the load. But every one of these that I see, I think about what the sister said in years gone by. That aren't you glad this morning that heaven is going to fix every one of these situations? Everything that we look at, heaven's going to fix it all. And people say, well, that's way out there in the future. I don't know when he's going to come. But as a Sunday school teacher this morning said, I don't believe it's that far away that God is going to say, I've had enough of this. It's time to go get the church and bring her home. And folks, every one of us that have everything in our lives that we have need of, God is going to get us. How many of you know that you're going to make that flight this morning? Because he said, I'll come and get you. I'm going to try to preach in a minute, but this blessed my heart this morning as Larry was reading in Sunday school and teaching. My mind went back to the book of Isaiah when the prophet said it like this, and it goes with 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and also in the book of Revelations when he talks about who are these, that great number that he saw. And he said, these are those that come through great tribulation and had their robes washed white in the blood of the Lamb. My mind went back to Isaiah when he said, when dust shall sing. Hallelujah. We're going to go down. We'll go back to the dust, but that dust is going to get up one day. This morning in the book of Matthew in the 17th chapter, just reading three verses today. and I did not know the testimonies. I did not know the prayer requests or the songs that will be sung this morning, but this is what's upon our hearts. If you'd like to stand for the reading of God's Word, verse, chapter 17, verses 19 through 21. The Bible says, then came the disciples to Jesus apart, in other words, separately, and said, why could not we cast him out? Talking about the young man that they brought to the disciples, and he was vexed with the devil. And it says he was a lunatic and so afraid, and oftentimes he would fall into the fire and often into the water. And they couldn't understand why they could not heal this young man. And I'm not going to preach about that young man this morning. We've done that in years past. And the Bible says, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto him, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith. Is that not Sharon's song this morning? As a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible for you. Howbeit this kind of goeth not out by prayer and fasting. And you can be seated in the house of the Lord this morning. I'd like to preach for a few minutes of time about the mountain. Not the faith, not the boy, but the mountain that was facing there in his life. And many of you, by your testimonies and prayer requests, and some of you that even talked to us before church, you've got a mountain that's in your life. It may not be the mountain that this boy, this parent, or this young man, that they faced. But anything that stands in your way between you and God and enjoying the fellowship that you have with God is a mountain that has been placed there. This family was brokenhearted because their son was vexed with a devil. And moms and dads and people, whether we want to admit it or not, many of our loved ones, and at times even we, the devil will come along and vex our minds. Maybe not as bad as what this young man was, or even as bad as some of what our people are, but the devil comes to all of our houses. Amen? And he tries his best to take away the joy of our salvation. And he uses many different means. And I don't want to preach about all those things that he uses, but he uses a lot of different things to try to get it to where the mountain will appear between us and God. In the Bible, I find that there's three main reasons for mountains that come in our life and who they're sent by. First of all, the Bible says that God will put a mountain in our life to be as a test, to see how we will react. Has anybody ever had a test in your life? And I was thinking about this yesterday, that there's been some mountain, some test that I've had to go through that I have failed miserably. Some of you have failed miserably. But, you know, the devil will try to bring those back up and tell us how bad we did. I don't try to think about the ones that I did bad on. I try to ponder upon the good things that I did good on. The mountains that I reacted in the way that God would be pleased with. But the Bible also teaches us that mountains can come in our life by Satan, that he brings temptations in our life. And I also will confess, first of all, that there's been times that the devil put a mountain of temptation in our life, and we failed miserably on that as well. Nobody else wants to say amen. But there's also times that we put mountains in our own life because of things that we do or because of disobedience, that we cause a mountain to come into our own life. And oftentimes I find this, and this mountain that I'm talking about can be many different things. Has anybody ever gone in debt over your head? Some of you want to raise your hands. That was a mountain that we put in our life. Amen? Anybody ever done something that you knew you shouldn't do, but you did it anyway? Is a mountain that we put in our life. And oftentimes we put mountains in our own life. We cause these mountains, and then we expect God to move them. Whereas if we knew the Word of God and we lived by the Word of God, we could prevent a third of our mountains. At least a third. And if we weren't so weak, and let's go with Wednesday night's message, if we weren't so weak and in tune with what everybody else has and what everybody else got and what everybody else needs and what I want and what I feel like I need, and the biggest thing that I find today is that people say, I have a right to do this, or I have a right to be happy, I have a right to all these things. What we do is we cause a mountain to come in our life. If we could just control our appetites, can I put it like that? Control our urges and control our wants, we can eliminate 2/3 of the mountains that we face in our lifetime. 2/3 of them we could almost eliminate. And we're still going to have those mountains that we have to go through for testing and trials in our life. And just because a mountain is there doesn't mean that we have to throw up our hands and say, I quit. I give up and I can't climb it. The Bible says in this verse that if we had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, I've heard it preached all my life and I'm not going to dispute it this morning, that what it's saying is that a mustard seed is very small. If it was just that, if we had small faith, we could say to our mountains, be you removed, and they would be removed. Now, I don't think that God was talking in His Word about a literal mountain, even though I do believe that God could move a literal mountain. But I think He was talking about the spiritual mountains that we face in our own life. But one of the things that I've come to realize after all these years of being in the family of God is that not every mountain we face will God move from in front of us. And you say, well, the Scripture says if we had faith, we could say to it, be removed, and it would be removed. There are ways that God moves to help us with the mountain that is in front of us. And some folks look at your life right now and say, if that mountain was in my life, I would just have quit already. I would have thrown up my hands and I would have probably already needed some medical assistance. And Sister Edwina made mention of it. You know, so many people think that their problems are going to be taken care of by Valium or by some other kind of prescribed medicine. Folks, all that does is put it off for a little while. The problem is still there. The mountain is still there. The only way to get rid of the mountains is take it to somebody who can move the mountain. And people say, well, you said that not all of them will be moved. The Bible teaches us today that, and I've seen it in my life as well as in your life, is that not every mountain will be moved, but God can make that mountain a whole lot smaller. Yeah. Has He ever taken a mountain in your life that was so big that you thought it was impossible for you to climb it? But God, after talking with Him and praying and supplication, and this is something you don't hear a lot in Baptist churches like ours across the land, but the Bible says that Jesus told them that this kind of work, this kind of moving this mountain, only comes by prayer and fasting. And I know I'm in a Baptist church this morning, but I have to ask the question, when mountains come in our life, instead of us throwing up our hands and say, I can't do anything about it, what we ought to do is get down upon our prayer bones and begin fasting before God and do like the patriarchs of old did. Is that they would begin to fast and they would get down in sackcloth and ashes. And the Bible doesn't teach us that we need to do this today. But what they would do is that they would begin to throw ashes all over them. And showing that they was down and they was serious with God. You know what God asked us to show seriousness today? Is come to Him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And if we will do our part, God can make that mountain so much smaller that we won't have to worry about how big it is. Another thing that God does is not only does He make it smaller, but is He giving anybody the strength to climb that mountain? He may have left it. Sometimes it looked like some of the big mountains in Everest, Mount Everest. Thank you, Deacon. And it looks like it's so big that we have no way that we could climb that mountain. But the next thing you know, has anybody ever been there? And the next thing you know, you're almost at the top of it. You look back down and you say, how in the world did I get here? And you know how we got there? It's because God showed up and gave us a strength. And I didn't even know how to begin to climb the mountain. Next thing you know, I'm at the top of it. And folks, let me leave this part out. But when God gets us to the top of that mountain, or that mountain has been removed from our sight, what we ought to do is look back up to the heavens, lift up holy hands unto God and say, Lord, I thank you that you helped me with this mountain that was in my life. But oftentimes, Ron, we forget to thank him. We're like the ones that the lepers that came to Jesus, and he healed 10 of them and only one turned around to thank him. The mountains that we have, God can give us the strength to climb it. Another thing that I found in my years that God does, when our strength is low and our patience is weak and everything is going adversely, is God will put a brother or sister right beside of us. Has anybody ever climbed the mountain with a child of God? You know what the Bible says? He says, when two are together, their joy is doubled. And when two are together, the Bible teaches us that their troubles or their sorrow is half. You say, well, you're talking about a marriage. You are my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And when God lets us walk around, you know what I've seen sometimes? Oh, it helped me preach this morning for a few minutes. Sometimes when I'm climbing a mountain that's in front of us, I look and I think I'm the only one, Sister Barb, that's ever been there. You know what I happen to do, Rob? I look over to the side of me and there's a brother or sister that I know that's climbing the same mountain. And when I see that brother or sister, then I am confirmed that two of us together walking hand in hand, that there is no enemy that can come against us by the name of Jesus Christ that can get the victory in our life if we'll just walk and keep walking together. And some people say, well, how can you find joy when you see your brother or sister? Because somebody, like Paul and Silas in the midst of their mountain, somebody can begin to pray and somebody can begin to sing an old-fashioned song. And the next thing you know, instead of walking, we're running up that mountaintop because the Spirit of God showed up and gave us the strength that we had need of. And then also, and this is for our infant Christians this morning, not everything we think is a mountain is a mountain. God bless our little brothers and sisters. People that ought to be grown up by now. And it's this Sunday morning message. That just the littlest thing, a little pebble in their road comes along and they think it's a mountain. Folks, you don't know what a mountain is. But if God lets you live long enough, you'll realize, anybody else like me, when I was a small infant in Christ Jesus, I looked at some of those things and I thought it was too big for me to be able to climb. But now, years gone by, and I'm not bragging on Roger, I'm bragging upon our Lord, I look back and say, that was so small. Why in the world did I act that way? That was so small, and I'm ashamed, Larry Jones, that I acted the way that I did. Folks, sometimes we get a little cut and we act like it's the end of the world. Sometimes we get a little problem, health problem, and we got just a flat lip and we're just so down and out. Folks, you don't know what a mountain is until one of your loved ones has been stricken with some dreaded disease. You don't know what a mountain is until the doctor comes in the room and says, I hate to tell you this, but you've got some dreaded disease. Or that when the doctor comes in and the health people come in and say there's no hope for you. You don't know what a mountain is until you face the uncertainties of life and you see that there's no way that I'm going to make it unless God shows up today. That's when you really know what a mountain is. I didn't know I was going to preach like this, Larry, but it's all right anyway. You don't know this morning what a mountain is until you have a loved one that's laying upon a bed of affliction and just a few moments. By all the signs, and many of us have been there, and we've seen those signs. And in just a few moments, it looks like the death angel is just circling the room. And at any time, they can go into eternity.
And for those of us that has loved ones that left here with the promise of Jesus Christ in their life, what a hallelujah time we'll have when we get to the other side where we'll never have to separate anymore. But children, this morning, that's not a mountain. A mountain is when you got a loved one laying there that has left no hope or promise that they know Jesus Christ as their Lord. Say, that's a mountain this morning that needs to be climbed, and we need God to help us that they would submit their lives into His hand. Because once their eyes are closed, it's too late. And I know that there are many that say, and this is not popular preaching, that if they leave here, there's a hope and we can pray them out of that awful place into heaven. My Bible teaches me, as a tree falls, so shall it be. Amen. Bible says, if you go down in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. If you die lost, you'll be resurrected lost. That's a mountain this morning. But no matter what kind of mountains we face, people today that have Christians that have mountains in their life, that Sister Rose, they look and they say, well, I don't have everything that everybody else has got. I thought about this, and I've mentioned this in messages past, that folks, you ought to be careful not to want what everybody else has got, because you don't know how much it costs them to get to where they're at. And I'm not talking financially. There's folks that's given all to get to where they're at. You just don't come into the house of God and become a leader or an elder. It takes time. It takes you going through some mountains in order to get to where God wants you to go. And can I get a witness this morning? Church, brothers and sisters, I wouldn't take anything for what I've been through, because I could not stand today with the mountains that's in front of me had I not come through the dry and barren places that God allowed us to walk. Amen? Oh, I'm trying to find a hushing place, but I feel so sorry for these new Christians that can't hardly take anything. I think, pity you. You ought to see some of what our people went through. You ought to walk through some of the nights that we've walked through. Some of the days in the dry, hot sun. People say, well, you're talking about the natural sun. No, I'm talking about the spiritual walk. And I've got to put this in and I'll move on. I, again, worry about the church of tomorrow, because we do not have many Christians. From Wednesday night, we don't have many Christians. And for those that wasn't here Wednesday night, people say, well, I'm a Christian. Just because you're born again don't mean that you're a Christian. There's a lot of born again people in the world, but there's only a few Christians. And people say, well, what's the difference? Let me give them a rehash, if I can, real quickly from Wednesday night. In order to be a Christian, you have to have Christ-like attributes in your life. You can be born again and not have those. I know some people that's been born again, and I don't doubt their salvation. But folks, let me tell you, they're far from being a Christian. And I got to move on. People say, well, what kind of attributes do I need? One of the ones that really stand out is Christ was a helper everywhere He went. He seen somebody in trouble, He stopped and helped them. God help our people who say that they're Christians and they've shut up their bowels of compassion and won't help anybody with anything. And I say this to them, then I'll move on. If you won't help, God will take it from you one way or another. And you say, well, why are so many of them so successful? Not every church that has church on the sign is a church. Amen? And some of them that used to be churches, when they face mountains there now, you go back to Jeremiah and read in there where when the battles come, instead of listening to the elders of the church, you know what they did? They listened to the young men. And I'm not preaching against young folk this morning, but I'm preaching this. If you want advice about how to live your Christian life, don't go to somebody who's never had to face a mountain. Don't go to somebody who's never walked a long night or a long day. But you need to seek out some of the old folks in the church. And by old folks, and I don't say that disrespectfully, I'm talking about somebody that's been a Christian and knows what mountains are all about. And then I want to say this morning as well. I cannot climb your mountain and you cannot climb mine. I can't even climb it for my children. My mom and dad couldn't climb it for me. But you know what? We can certainly pray for them as we see what they're going through. That mountain that's there. And folks, let me put this in as well. Many of our folks don't even realize it's a mountain in front of them, but somebody that has walked this way for many years can look in their life. Can you look at anybody else's life that you know of and you see a mountain that is approaching their life that they better get something right in their life or otherwise that mountain will destroy them? And I have to say this. I see Christians, and I come to preach the truth to you this morning. I see Christians, and with the things that you are allowing to come in your life and the things that you are allowing to take you away from God, there's going to be a mountain that you will not want to climb that is coming. God help us this morning. People say, well, you don't know that much about my life. You ought not cast judgment on it. Folks, any time that we fail to do what the Word of God says, we are opening the door for the mountains of temptation to come. People look at some of our lives and say, how did you get so strong? And the thing is, we're not that strong. But by walking hand in hand with God, folks, we have somebody with us who has helped us each and every day. This family that had this child was at their wits' end. Some of us this morning have traveled and we've done all that we could. We don't know what else to do about this mountain that we're facing in our life. I'm not going to advise you to get a meeting with the deacons. I'm not going to advise you to get a meeting with the pastor. I'm not even going to advise you to get a prayer group together to try to help you with your mountain. You know what I advise you to do is what Jesus told them, disciples that was there. What you need to do is start praying and praying and praying. And I don't mean just a few words. Has anybody ever prayed to where you never spoke a word? Because the burden was so great. The need was so great. And the mountain was so high. I think about those of you that's in our audience this morning. I don't know how in the world I would react. And I'm just being honest with you today. I don't know how I would react if the news come into the room that I was consumed with cancer. I don't know how I would react. I would see that Sharon Ball as a great big mountain that's in front of me. I don't know how I would react. I don't know how I would react if some devastating news come like it did to Job about his family, to our family. I don't know how I would react when a lot of things that you're facing. I don't know how I would react when with DJ being sent to Afghanistan. And I don't know how I would react with Brother Jim with the family that had to bury their son back from Afghanistan. People say, well, why all these certain... And folks, let me just put it to you this way. I don't know how I would react to many of you that are young and have young children to trying to raise them in a world in which we live in. It's hard enough for me with grown children and looking at grandkids. People say, well, with all the mountains that's there, how in the world can we get past it? We better start praying. And people say, well, I've prayed and I've prayed. I've heard Christians say this. I'm going to find a closing place in a minute. I've prayed and I've prayed, and yet God wants me to do it this way. If it goes contrary to the Word of God, it is not God that's answering your prayers. It's the devil that is whispering in your ear this morning. It's true. And we better start fasting. And some of you look at me and say, Pastor, we've been in a Baptist church for years and we've never fasted. If the patriarchs of old did it, it ought to be good enough for us. If the disciples did it, it ought to be good enough for us. If Christ Jesus did it, it ought to be enough for us. And people say, well, I can't do without that food. I can't do without all those nourishments that my body has need of. God knows what we can and cannot do. We'll go and we'll starve ourselves just to get in a different size britches. Amen? Y'all didn't know you was going to hear this kind of preaching on Sunday morning. We'll go and we'll starve ourselves to get in a different size dress. And let me put this in for good measure. It doesn't matter what your dress size is or what your breeches size is. You better worry about your relationship with God, because those mountains are on the horizon and you better have the strength to climb them, or else you will be destroyed by that mountain. The other stuff we'll handle in another message. There are mountains. And I asked Robin Sharon to come and sing that song, Lord, don't move that mountain. You know what I'm praying? Is I can't move the mountain. And I don't know if God will move the mountain. But I know what God can do, Sister Villa. God can give us the strength to climb it. A lot of bad news today. People say, well, I don't go to church to get bad news. It's on the news, on the TV and on the radio. I don't even listen to them. I don't even watch them. Very rarely will I watch the news or listen to a radio news broadcast, because I know the only thing they're going to report is the bad stuff that's happening. The bad stuff. And some of you might be thinking that we could have stayed at home this morning and heard the bad news on the radio or TV. But I didn't come to bring you bad news. I come to bring you the word that when bad news comes, there's only one place that you can find the help that you stand in need of. It's not. And folks, don't take me wrong this morning. People will say, church, pray for me, because I'm facing a mighty big situation in my life. And it's good to have brothers and sisters to pray for you. But nobody can pray for you like you. Nobody can. Nobody can pray for your children other than themselves like you can. Nobody can pray for your home like you can. And I challenge us to not just have a few words, but I mean to really pray. And if God lays it upon your heart that you would even seek fasting. But let me tell you what the Bible says about fasting. It says if you're fasting, you're not supposed to publicize it. You know, you don't be a Pharisee. Don't get out there and tell everybody, hey, I'm fasting. That's not the purpose of it. The purpose of a fasting is to draw your relationship with God even closer. That when the hunger pains hit, instead of eating, you begin to pray and seek God. And some folks, Bill, this morning might say, well, you think the answer to every problem is just getting closer to God. I've got a book of people that face mountains in their life. And you know, the ones that got the victory are the ones that prayed and sought God. And those that fasted. This morning, no matter what kind of mountain it is, whether it's sent by God, sent by the devil, or brought on by yourself, there's only one place to get help. And that's at an old-fashioned altar of prayer. So I ask you this morning, while they sing a song of invitation, Instead of you asking for God to move that mountain. What I wanted to say about the grain of mustard seed, it's not just the size, but history will teach us, and also the study of seeds in that will teach us that the mustard seed is one of the purest forms of a seed. What does that teach us this morning? He's saying if your faith is pure, if your faith is solid, not wishy-washy, but if it's solid, you're going to get that mountain out of your life. While we stand, they sing a verse of a song. Moms and dads that need to pray this morning, young women and young men that need to pray, grandmas and grandpas that need to pray. If not for yourself, Lord, for your loved ones.
Here I am again, down on mountains my knees are there. In prayer. Lord, I know
if you've
you
not faced them,
me that
you will.
Always meet me there.
Some of you that are right in the middle of a mountain and you refuse to acknowledge it. You don't have to bear it by yourself.
I just can't seem to climb, but
yes.
I'm praying for the strength to try it
just
one
more time.
Time.
Sing this song this morning, church.
Oh, Lord,
don't move that mountain.
That mountain.
Just give me the strength
just give
to climb
me
it.
The strength to climb.
Yes.
For
if you should move each mountain,
should move each mountain,
I might get weaker. Yes.
Every time.
And listen at the testimony this morning.
And
just
as
your son Jesus, he didn't move that mountain.
The cross of Calvary's hill.
Yes.
Oh Lord, don't move that mountain. So I may better do your will. Now if there were no mountains, Lord, I might forget to pray. And if there were no trials, Lord, I might even stray. But I know the higher the mountain, the sweeter the victory. Oh Lord, ever remind me that you'll walk beside of me. Oh Lord, don't move that mountain, just give me
facing these mountains.
try it one more time. Oh, Lord, don't move that mountain. Just give me the strength to climb. For if you should move each mountain, I might grow weak.
You know, there's been times when I was facing a mountain, maybe third of the way or halfway up that mountain. You know what I would try to do is I would try to act like there was no mountain at all there, that everything was just wonderful. And folks, no matter what you say, listen carefully to me, no matter what you say, our actions tells a better story than what our words do. Do. Our actions tell the true story. If you watch somebody's life long enough, and I'm speaking to my brothers and sisters this morning, if you watch somebody's life long enough, you'll be able to tell when things aren't as good as they try to act like they are. Mm-hmm. Amen? Amen. And I don't have insight to your life. It's not like God gives me some type of a revelation to see things go wrong. You can just see things that happen. And it's in all of our lives. Every one of us. If we're not careful, we'll allow the mountain to get the victory instead of us getting the victory over the mountain. Let me close with this morning. If the parents of this young man, Larry, took them to the disciples, and the disciples couldn't do anything. You know what most Baptist church members would do today? They'd say, we tried. We did everything we could. But you know, they had the zeal that, hey, these guys couldn't, but I hear Jesus is in town. And you know what they did? They took it yet another time. You know what, moms and dads, that gives us the encouragement? Take them back to the Lord yet another time. Yet another time. I hope you got something from the service this morning. And I feel just like you do. You know, our hearts are overwhelmed with everything that's going on. But some of us are standing on the peripheral watching other people's lives that are in these mountains or are climbing these mountains or have been told about these mountains. And all we can do is stand back and say, what's going on? What's happening in their life? All we can do is pray for them that God give them the strength to climb that mountain. And we can pray for them. Tonight we need to be praying for each other. Amen. Like we have never prayed for each other before. Because how many of you face mountains in your life? I remember when I was little, Billy, we would go down home, and there was always an old 55. There was always this, what I thought was a mountain. Man, this thing was, it had curves in it, and it seemed like it took us forever to get up that mountain. And sometimes it was wrecks on it because it was curvy and it was steep. And people get out there and act crazy and end up hurting somebody or hurting themselves. Years went by. I looked back and that. And folks, that ain't no mountain. That's just a little bitty hill. That's all it is. But you know, in our lives, we look at things and we say, that was a mountain. And then you look back, you know, really that was nothing. And I promise you this. No matter what kind of mountains you have faced, there are bigger mountains to come.
Yes. because they see you, moms and dads. We might think that we keep it hid from the kids. Anytime there was problems financially or whatever going on, I never would talk about it in front of the kids. But you know what? Kids know more about what's going on in your life than what you think. Than what you think. I remember as when Tiffany was little, she was more concerned about this because it was more prevalent in her days in school. Me and Becky, we wouldn't even be having an argument. We just had a word. Something, you know, something would be said and I would answer it, maybe answer it a little short. But it was probably me saying a word and Becky sending it back to me a little short. More than likely. And Tiffany said, come, she would hear that, and she'd come to the house and say, are y'all getting a divorce? Well, see, she was worried about it when she seen what her friends went through at school. So you see, folks, you can't hide everything. And what you think your kids don't know, let me tell you, they do know. They do know. So God bless you. Again, I pray you got something from the message that helped you in your mountain and your life. If I could, I'd climb on it for you. Because you know why? Some of those mountains that you're climbing, we've already climbed before. But I can't. Mm-hmm. Best thing I can do is give you the advice. Keep praying. Mm-hmm. And for a Baptist church on a Sunday morning, we better start fasting. Seeking God. Some of you say, I've never fasted. I wouldn't even know where to begin. The Bible covers what a fast is. And if you don't get it from that, maybe God will give us a message that would help us all be fasting. Because how many of us could afford to fast? Now see, when you raise your hands, you're doing it for the wrong reason. It's to draw closer to God, not worry about who waits. See, the devil comes in every door he gets. God bless you. Enjoy your afternoon. Get you something to eat. Bless your fasting.